Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. My name is David Rees, and this is Marek Larwood.
Hello, listeners. What episode is this? What number?
Oh, blimey. 139? 140, maybe?
Who knows? I said that to try and make you look stupid when people know when the number comes
they've
up.
They've literally looked at it on their phone.
Who've got no idea how many they've done or where they're going.
Where they've been, where they're going, and why they're here in the first place. That's a lot of episodes, though. That's 130-odd weeks, isn't it?
It's probably a real insight into our lives. And if that hasn't put you off, please keep listening, because we're going to be talking about films that we have seen that may or not be relevant to your lives whatsoever.
Yes, films. Who wants to go first? I mean, we've both seen something a bit different this week.
I'll flip a coin.
All right.
Only the other week. I mean, and this is one of those things you can play along, and it's a pound coin, so it's quite hard to flip. Who do you think's going to win? So it's a bit of... It's like a drama, isn't it? Yeah, it's a rubbish game. Heads or tails?
Tails.
It is heads.
You go first.
Hang on, I won.
Hey? Oh, it's heads. Oh, sorry.
So you go first.
Oh. All right. Well, I tracked down a film that... I was interested to see because I had heard nothing about it. It's a film called Small Apartments, and it's a 2012 premiered film. I think it was actually released in 2013, but it stars Matt Lucas, and it's an American-made film.
Oh, right.
And it stars Matt Lucas as a weird guy in a small apartment block in the US, but... What struck me as strange about this film, and why I thought it'd be worth just sitting through to see what it's like, the cast is sort of phenomenal, and I've never heard of this film.
How did you track it down in the first place?
I found it on what used to be called Love Film and is now called Amazon Prime. And
Has Love Film changed Amazon Prime now?
Yeah, Amazon bought them out and then changed their name. So Love Film is now only the buy post bit. And Amazon have stolen the streaming bit for themselves.
Love Film's dead, like Blockbusters.
Yeah, it's dead. It's dead. It's on its way out.
That didn't last long, that whole posted film thing.
I think it's been going for longer in the States, and so we took a while to catch on to it. It's how Netflix started. Netflix was a DVD by post company. Anyway. Yeah, so the cast of this, we've got... the girl across the way is Juno Temple, who's a bit of a rising star.
What number is she in?
What number?
Yeah, what
I
number?
Can't remember. I can't remember. He's in like 240 or something.
What's the plot, first of all?
Okay. Matt Lucas plays this weird bloke called Franklin, who lives on his own and sits around drinking Kool-Aid in his pants. And because he has alopecia, he's playing a guy with alopecia, whenever he goes out, he just puts a rain mac on over his pants and puts a wig on and goes out to the shops. But he's a properly strange bloke.
That doesn't sound too weird to me so far.
Okay, well, get this. And he remembers his brother, who's in a mental institution, played by James Marsden. And after the first 10 minutes of him watching out the window of other people, a bit rear windowy of the other people going about their
Anyone
business...
get killed?
It turns out the entire time there has been a corpse in the middle of his front room that the camera hasn't shown yet.
Oh, wow.
And then it goes on from there. But...
That's a really good start.
Yeah, it's great. It's great fun. And So you've already got James Marsden, Juno Temple's across the way. In a non-speaking role, playing Juno Temple's mum, you've got Saffron Burrows.
Who's Saffron Burrows?
Saffron Burrows is a British actress who's been in loads of stuff, but including Deep Blue Sea and stuff. You'll recognise her. Peter Stormare is his name, the guy from Fargo. And
he's the evil villain in 22 Jump Street.
Okay, yeah. Well, he's the villain in this as well. Then Billy Crystal is the detective, and Johnny Knoxville is next door, and Rainn Wilson is there as well, the girl.
He must have had a big budget then.
Yeah, well, exactly. It was shot in 20 days as well.
What?
And it is a odd film, but it weirdly works. You know, it was surprising. It's not perfect. There are sort of scripty directorial hiccups in it, but the central performance by Matt Lucas is so charming and strange, it actually ends up working. And what could be sort of, you know, those sort of quirky films that are trying endlessly to be quirky to end up being obnoxious, it just narrowly avoids that and ends up actually, by the second half, by the end, being really quite touching and good.
So is it a comedy or is it not just...
It's a dark comedy, yeah.
What does that mean? Dark comedy just means there's murder and there's no jokes in it.
There's dark subject matter to what is very funny, basically. So
Did he laugh out loud at all?
He is basically an incompetent. He's an idiot. He's a guy completely on his own in this world and he's not coping. But that is sort of... You feel for him, but it's lightly funny rather than it's horrible and bleak. There are moments of bleakness, but he basically is trying to get rid of this body and is the worst guy at covering his tracks there could ever be. And
is it as good as Weekend at Bernie's?
Yes, it's better than Weekend at Bernie's. It is.
Weekend at Bernie's is a brilliant film. Sorry to interrupt, but Weekend at Bernie's is a great sort of 80s classic where these two guys accidentally kill this bloke called Bernie and have to go around...
Pretending he's still alive, don't they?
It's really... I haven't seen it since I was 14, but on that basis alone... It's
well,
really,
exactly.
Really good.
It's the archetypical sort of high-concept 80s movie, isn't it?
Sorry, I interrupted. $2 million the budget. Did I say that already?
No, you didn't.
$2 million the budget.
So they've got some amazing cast. James Marsden's brilliant in it, and it's Billy Crystal actually playing the detective is so good whilst seemingly doing nothing. You know what I mean?
And
he's playing a detective who's split from his wife and he's a bit down in the dumps, but he's still optimistic and upbeat about stuff because he's Billy Crystal. But he's just so engaging and likable.
Doesn't really do anything. Is that because he's had like extensive plastic surgery and he can't move his face?
No, not at all. He's still got a very expressive face.
Can you see he's had plastic surgery in the film?
Has he had plastic surgery?
Yes.
It doesn't show in this one.
Maybe he had it taken out.
Yeah, maybe. Two more cast members I've not mentioned. On either side of Matt Lucas's flat, you've got Johnny Knoxville on one side. He's actually very good in this.
I think he's a good actor in a lot of
things. And then on the other side, James Caan.
So they must have... If the budget was $2 million, they must have loved the script of this. If they all did it for... They must have done it for like about 50 quid, isn't
it? Or the director has promised he can shoot quickly.
Or he's blackmailing all of them.
He's got stuff on every single one of them.
Well, they filmed it in 20 days. That is incredible. Where did you find all this business out?
That was on IMDb, I think.
20 days?
I think so.
So it's it says here, it's also, the original novel is based on, won a 3-day novel writing contest.
So the novel was written really quickly as well.
So all of you procrastinating about making your films or writing your books, you can write the book in 3 days and you can film it in 20 days, 23 days, and you've still got, and that's enough of weekends off, isn't it?
Yeah,
31 days in a month, 3 weekends, 4 weekends, 8 days.
Hey, and then you can, you know, retire. That would be great. Another cast member, incredibly, like playing a cheesy, permatanned, sort of bouffoned life coach is Dolph Lundgren, and he's brilliant in it as well.
How the fuck did this not get...
I know, exactly.
Is it good then or not? It's not very good.
It is good. It is good.
IMDb only give it a 6.1.
It's not perfect, as in it's not a classic film, but certainly I'd want to see more from everyone involved. Like, it is genuinely funny at times and it never loses its way. It's like, it's charming. It's a charming small film. And I have no idea why no one's heard of it. I don't think it got a cinema release. from what I've read. I think it premiered at South by Southwest Film Festival and then went straight to sort of digital media or something in 2013. But people should track it down and see what they think, because it's definitely worth more exposure than it's had.
I wonder why it didn't get... So I said the F-bomb as well.
It's all right.
I don't like swearing. I like swearing, but I don't like swearing out loud.
Mm.
Will you beep over it?
No, I don't know how to do that. I don't have a beep sound effect.
Oh, no.
I can
what about
shout
that
beep.
Or... 9-year-old kid who's probably 10 now, probably 11 now, she's all right. I wonder if anyone knows why that didn't get a big release.
Because you would have thought in Britain alone, having Matt Lucas in the lead would have got some attention. But it is sort of a little... It's quite a strange film. So maybe that was the decision that it's...
Maybe all the cinemas have been bought out by places showing their rubbish superhero movies. You go and watch David the whole time.
Yeah, it's probably my fault.
You say it like that, flippantly, like, oh, it's probably my fault. But you are part of the problem.
I like superhero films. I don't like exclusively superhero films, but I do like them.
You don't like them?
Yeah, I do.
I don't. Well, all I meant to say is I don't like you.
Oh, right, okay. Well, that's fair enough.
Who is this film for?
Oh, God, I don't know.
That's what I thought. I thought it'd be quite good. I look at some of the reviews, and a lot of people are surprised. They just sort of seem to find it by accident.
Mm.
Very odd.
Very odd. Small Apartments is the name of it. Track it down if you're so inclined.
I tell you what, though, if people do want to write in about Small Apartments,
yeah.
Say I wanted to, what do I do?
Well, you can email dearfilmfandango@gmail.com. It's probably the best way to get in touch. Or if you want to talk to one another, then go to our Facebook page /filmfandango. Or you can tweet us at Mr. David Reed, at Marek Larwood, and at Film Fandango.
Hey, guess what?
What?
What if I want to donate to help running this podcast because I like it, and these guys, they can't afford to eat, and I want to give them my money for no reason?
Okay. Well, we do this podcast for free, so if you would like to donate to our running costs, of which there are a lot, then please do so. Go to filmfandango.co.uk and follow the links from there. And everyone who has done so already, thank you very much.
Yes, thank you very much. It's very kind and generous of you, and we appreciate it, and it allows us to feed children. I've got to say hello to Neil and George, who I bumped into at a wedding. My friend Norrie's wedding, who listened to the podcast.
Oh, great.
And a few people I've actually met in real life, because I think it's just imaginary, who listened to it. And Neil recommended the app which tells you when to go for a piss during the cinema.
Oh, yeah.
Which would really help me out. But I only meant to talk to later on the wedding, about 2:30 in the morning.
So you
I was
were
really
hammered. Battered, yeah.
Barely even talk about film. I didn't even know what a film was.
Are you sure they were there?
I think it might be an imaginary.
But Marek was in the corner talking to a chocolate fountain.
And then I went to get a McDonald's instead, because I was so angry. But if you are real, I believe in you. That's a good message to say, isn't it? I believe in you.
Not, you know, in your abilities. I believe in your existence.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying.
Yeah. Some people have taken it upon themselves to write...
Had the audacity to tell us their opinions.
To write in to dearfilmfandango@gmail.com. Shall I read this one?
Yeah, go on.
This is from Andrew in central London. It's a south east accent, but I'll just do it. I'd like to hear it in a pirate accent. Well, I wouldn't. Okay, I'll hear it in a pirate accent, but I'm going to do it in a Somalian pirate.
Okay. I'm the captain now.
It is. Hi, I am MDB. Just thought I would drop you a mail to let you know I am the proud owner of... That's really racist, right?
I don't know anymore.
If you do it as a pirate, you can do it. It's not racist, is it? It's not.
Well, no, because they're Cornish pirates, aren't they?
I'm going to do it as a London bloke, then. Hi, MDB. I just thought I'd drop you a mail to let you know I'm the proud owner of a Film Fandango T-shirt. The good people at Redbubble delivered it today. I only started listening about a month back after Marek plugged the show on Mirror Carnage, which is another podcast. American football and stuff. And now I'm hooked. I've even started listening to the old Absolute Radio podcast. I didn't even realise that there was a Fandango before Merrick. Yeah, I only joined episode 40 as a minute.
Yeah, yeah.
Three films that I'd like to hear you review if you haven't done so. It's Animal Kingdom, Eastern Promises, or The Proposition. All three quite different, but they all have real characters and twists. You don't expect a nasty sense of dread. No bloody superheroes. Cheers, keep up the good work, Andrew. Animal Kingdom.
Animal Kingdom.
Animal Kingdom is one of the best films I saw a couple of years ago. It's an Australian film, which is about this guy who's sort of embroiled with this family. I'm just getting it. Just going to make sure I've got it right, because otherwise I feel like I'll write. Oh, for not for even more of a dick. And then, as I was looking in my computer, I realised I didn't know how to spell animal properly. Animal Kingdom is brilliant. It's a story about this kid who's in a criminal family, and they're in trouble with the police, and they're sort of gradually getting killed off. It's Australian. It's got a lot of the actors went on. One went on to be in Warrior, and the guy who's the who wasn't Home and Away, who's brilliant, who's now appearing in that as a bad guy in The Place Beyond the Pines.
Who's that?
I'm trying to find a picture of him. I don't know him. He was in Home and Away for ages. It's this guy here.
It's a tiny.
And it really helps you when it really helps if I just showing the pictures of it.
He looks like from a distance. He looks like Dominic West, but I don't think he was in Home and Away.
No, I'm really cross now because I'm just looking on IMDb, and this is what happens if you don't research. Ben Mendelsohn.
Oh, yes. Mendelsohn.
Yeah, he's brilliant. He started off doing, American soaps, Australian soaps, and he's sort of playing a lot of villains now. And I think Animal Kingdom led to him getting the sort of villainish role in Place Beyond the Pines.
I don't remember you talking about Animal Kingdom. Have you discussed it on this?
I think I picked that as one of my favourite films just before I joined, because it's 2012, I think, or 2010. It is harrowing. The lead actor's quite wooden. The young guy who plays the guy in the family, he's quite wooden. But his family are just terrifying. This horrible matriarchal figure who's in control of all her sons, who loves them, even though they're all brutal murderers and embroiled on this Australian crime scene. And he just wants to get out of it, and he can't really. He's just stuck in this sort of weird crime family. It's shocking because it doesn't follow normal plot things. Our characters get killed off at random moments, and it's quite surprising, and it's brutal and quite the ugly side of things. I think it's got a lot of praise late on, but I thought it was one of the best films I saw that year. It was released in the UK 2011, so 3 years ago. Track this down. I think it's on Netflix, I think. Or if it's on Amazon Prime, whatever. I really recommend this if you want to watch a brutal film. Eastern Promises.
Yes, that's the Viggo Mortensen film with him covered in tattoos, isn't it?
Yeah.
He plays a hitman.
Yeah. I remember I looked at my IMDb and I gave it a 5, which means I thought it was rubbish. I can sort of vaguely remember it. I think it's quite cheesy for a Viggo Mortensen film. And him and it's a Cronenberg director, him and Naomi Watts.
Yeah.
Here's a description of it on IMDb. A Russian teenager living in London dies during childbirth, leaves clues to a midwife in a journal that could tie her to her child to a rape involving a violent Russian mob and family. I watched it ages ago and I thought it was really forgettable, so I can't remember it at all.
I've not seen it. I think I'd just seen A History of Violence and I thought.
They came out at a similar time.
Similar time. It was when Viggo Mortensen was sort of in everything very briefly after Lord of the Rings.
And I much preferred History of Violence.
Yeah.
Which I thought was quite oddly half comic and entertaining.
I found the end, although entertaining, completely disparate from the rest of the film. I found it didn't follow on at all. I didn't believe the transformation, if you know what I mean.
And lastly, The Proposition, which I saw a long time ago.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the Nick Cave film.
Yeah, so Guy, Nick Cave wrote it, yeah. It stars Guy Pearce, and it's about this.
He and goes Danny Houston is the baddie in it, I think.
Yes. And he goes off, so he's got to try and kill his brother, hasn't he?
Yeah.
I thought it was all right at the time.
I liked it. I liked the proposition. I just like that sort of Australian aesthetic, though. I find it, it's very sort of creepy, but very different to American and British stuff. I enjoy it.
Guy Pearce is a safe pair of hands, isn't
he? Oh, he's great. He's great. And Ray Winston is good in it. There's about two or three films that Ray Winston is good in, and that's one of them, I think.
If you don't live in the UK, you'll have missed Ray Winston doing the most annoying series of football ads.
Yeah.
Ever, which is Bet365, which I've done a spoof of for this World Cup show I'm doing.
Oh, have you?
I mean, it's going to be rubbish, though. Which his head appears and he speaks in his, like, gangster voice like that.
I mean, he's a cockney, but even he's laid it on quite thick.
It's so thick, you can't even... It's like... On editing programmes, it's quite interesting. On Final Cut, you've got this thing where you can change people's voices to the robot voice. So you can do present, you can get the normal voice and you can put a sound effect on it. And what's really good, it shows you, because you can do disguised voice or voice. And it gives you a percentage of how much you can put on that. So say this is my normal voice.
Yeah.
And then this is monster 50%. And this is monster 100%. That's what it would do to the voice. Ray Winston's Cockney accent is not... It would be beyond
his Cockney slider is broken now, hasn't it?
You'd have to pay you for a separate app extension to do that.
Yeah. They probably isolated his head because it looked stupid having the Pearly King outfit on the whole time, innit?
Yeah.
And just juggling apples and pears.
And there's no effort on his behalf to pretend he's not really from an autocue.
He doesn't think that the people he's trying to sell this to are just scum.
It's on a par with the Kevin Bacon adverts.
Yeah.
Which have calmed down a little bit from the peak of being awful.
Yeah, they have.
So I look forward to those returning.
They've almost become a sort of familiar friend now, the Kevin Bacon adverts.
Yeah, it just looks like his face is made out of the same leather as his jacket. Anyway, I shouldn't mock them, because one day when I get to be a Hollywood superstar,
yes,
they're gonna
and then lose all your money, and they
go, hey, you did a film podcast, something like that, an accent, and I go no, and then they'll listen back to this one, episode 139,
yeah, or something.
Oh, shit, man. After those three, I really recommend Animal Kingdom. It is a top quality film.
Good. Well, Animal Kingdom there.
Do you want to...
Oh, we've got another one.
Yeah. Do you want to read it?
Yeah.
Good luck with the reading.
Scottish accent. Used to live in Southwest England. Oh, God. Right, Scottish is fine.
Dear Marek, David and Buddy, big fan of the podcast and particularly enjoy the challenges. It's a game I've recently started with my friends, more recently recasting Columbo. Our winner was Mark Ruffalo. Any better ideas? We also play the reverse. Who would people we know be in superhero franchises? The Simpsons, Game of Thrones, etc. Anywhere there are enough characters to really choose the right one. Which film superheroes would you be? Marek surely would be whichever hates being a superhero the most. All in all, keep the challenges. Thanks. On another note, you and your listeners might not be aware of the fascinating Every Frame a Painting videos on Vimeo. Film form is analysed, and for those of us without a background in film studies, it's really eye-opening. The recent one on Michael Bay is particularly good, as he's not just exploring films he likes, but attempting to explain how these films can be so bad yet so popular. I'll keep watching the films, and there's a donation coming as soon as I get paid. Ewan from Edinburgh.
Well, thanks, Ewan. Casting Columbo, we should do that sometime.
That's a really good
one. That's a good one. We'll save
TV,
that for
though. I did do films, didn't he, Columbo?
We can do the film versions of TV shows, that's fine. Who would we be in... You don't want to play a superhero game, do you? You're so bored of talking about it.
Who would I be if I was a superhero?
Which one would you be?
I don't know. You'd be... you look a bit like that. Chris Evans, you'd probably be Captain America.
Yeah, probably.
But you'd be Captain Britain.
That is a superhero.
Yeah, it's a separate one, yeah.
It's not had a film
I'm
yet.
I'm trying to think what other superhero you might be.
I think you'd play a particularly grumpy Batman.
I haven't got the face for Batman. I'd probably play a villain who gets killed off early.
You'd be a good Penguin.
Oh no. No one wants to be the Penguin. That's one of the worst ones. Can't I be the Riddler or something?
Yeah, you could be the Riddler. I can see that.
The Joker's the best one. I could be the Joker.
Okay, if you want to be. You don't really have the hair for the Joker.
Yeah, but the Riddler hasn't got hair. Or I think you would be Electro from the Batman one with a yellow green suit and the yellow sort of star head.
He didn't have that in the film. Electro was Jamie Foxx, wasn't
Which
he?
Which one would you like to be?
What, in the... in
what, superhero?
I'd quite like to play Nightcrawler. I think he was fun, and although Alan Cummings was good in it, he wasn't sort of how I pictured it.
You'd just be a polite one.
I'd be a really polite superhero.
Electro was much, but I'd end up being the Vulture. That's who I'd be.
Oh
the
yeah,
bald one with a. Anyway, why do you even suggest this?
I knew you'd get cross about this.
Well, it's like, well, who do you want to be? It's rubbish.
It's combining your two least favourite topics on this podcast. One, superheroes, and the second one, you being cast in things.
Yeah.
The two things guaranteed to get you grumpy.
Yeah. Well, no, if I got cast in me, I don't need to talk about getting cast. Anyway, Joe, do you know what? Shut up, Ewan. Where is that donation? No, anyway, I went to cinema.
What did you go and see?
Well, I went back to my art house cinema in Crouch End. Because I'm in between two cinemas, which is very lucky, because the Odeon's just showing literally the worst films for about 4 weeks in a row.
Mm.
It's just Frozen and some just terrible. I've seen all the films there, they don't seem to change. Anyway, and I found out the art house one was going upstairs a bit, which I sat by myself, was really nice.
Oh, cool.
I went to see Cold in July.
Okay.
Cold in July is set in a sort of nothingish sort of. A bit semi-rural town in America, and it's just a dad with a young little family or baby, and his wife, and he hears a burglar break into his blooming house.
Uh-oh.
I mean, it's a nightmare for everyone. So what would you do if you hear a burglar in your house?
Well, you call the police.
No.
Oh, you... Well, in films, you grab a baseball bat.
Hmm.
Okay, you grab a scythe?
No.
You grab both your kids.
A gun.
Okay, a gun, yeah.
You get a gun, and to show you don't really like guns, it's like your dad's gun or something like that. So it's like, it's just my dad's gun, so it's not really...
It's not like I love guns.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not really, because it's in the trailers. He kills this burglar, and it all kicks off from there. And at the same time, the burglar's dad's just been released from prison, and there's a bit of shenanigans there, and then it goes, and then with the father of the son that he murdered, and then the police get involved and try and talk their investigation out. But there's more to it than meets the eye, as usual.
Yeah.
Well, you know that when it starts up in the plot 20 minutes in, you think, well, that can't be the end of it, because it's an hour and a half, so there's going to be more to this than meets the eye.
Yeah.
Or I would have said that if anyone else was around the sitting upstairs, but
if anyone was interested.
No one was there. Except two people came in right 10 minutes before the end and chatted on the stairs and stood practically in front of me and were asking where if there's to each other, saying, is there another cinema screen here?
That's
oblivious to the fact that I'm watching the film, saying, oh, talking with really loud voices. They should be killed as well.
Slight side note, have you seen the latest BT adverts?
What's up?
Advertising internets. It's basically people talking about the new BT to each other like a Chinese whispers chain of thing. But one of the clips is a guy on a date with a girl talking to her in the cinema.
Mm.
But the film is clearly playing already in the background. He's talking to her about high-speed internet access over the film. Prick. That's it. I'm never going to BT for anything, and nor should anyone else.
There's no way I'd reach for his dick for the popcorn.
Definitely not.
Anyway, Cold in July. It's directed by some bloke called Jim Mickle. All I know is he's younger than me, so really that's pissed me off. this film, it stars Michael C. Hall, as we all know from 6 Feet Under, or Dexter as the lead.
He's great. Guy in it.
He's a really fantastic actor. The dad of the prisoner is Sam Shepard, also very good.
Oh, has he got his full tash?
No.
Oh.
And later on, there's a cameo from Don Johnson in it.
Which one's Don Johnson?
The one from the 80s. You know Don Johnson from Miami Vice. You're too young for Miami Vice.
I've never seen Miami Vice.
Right. I mean, a lot of people will be shouting the podcasts now. Miami Vice was this American sort of... It was a big sort of 80s iconic detective thing.
Yeah, yeah, I know what it is. I was aware of the remake of it as well with Colin Farrell and...
yeah, rubbish. Yeah. Don Johnson was this really good-looking sort of pin-up who made that famous, and he's sort of got... someone who'd become really interesting as an older actor. He plays a plantation owner in 12 Years a Slave as well.
Oh, does he? I'll look him up, but carry on.
Anyway, what is odd about this film, it reminded me of Dusk Till Dawn in a way that Dusk Till Dawn changes completely from one film to another film.
Yes.
This doesn't do that. This skirts around the borders of so many different genres, you don't know what's happening. It starts off, I think this is a really serious, straight... tightly plotted film. It feels quite tightly plotted. It feels like a suspense thriller with a really good actor. Then Michael C. Hall does a few things where you think, because he's quite, I feel like I'm in safe hands, he's a really accomplished actor.
Mm.
Where you suddenly think, is he playing this for comedy? It feels a bit like...
He's an actor who always seems like he's got a wry smile, or you know, tongue in cheek about everything.
Even slightly sort of slapstick. There's odd moments where you feel as if he's joking, that's the first indication that it's not stuck in that genre. It feels a bit odd after the first 20 minutes. Some odd things happen where you think, "What's happening here?"
Right.
Then the film just becomes this huge sort of, what's the word for it? Hodgepodge? Is that a word?
Yeah.
Of different sort of genres and changes into some sort of action film. It's really interesting, and because the actors are all so great in it, and it looks good and shot well, and for some reason has an 80s soundtrack, even though it's set in not suburban, sort of semi-rural suburban and nowhere America.
Yeah,
the soundtrack doesn't seem to fit it at points.
How odd.
And the characters change slightly, and they're, I think I've read people saying there's huge plot holes and there's things that don't work in it, but it's still entertaining. So you feel a bit cheated because whether that's because my brain's been so ingrained with the normal plot lines and behaviour the indicators that this is going to happen in the film. So it's going to be this sort of film.
Yeah.
Because I see this emotion. Whether that's me being indoctrinated, is that the right word, as a viewer, or whether the film doesn't know what it is. And I think it's a bit of both, really.
Okay.
It's an enjoyable, yet all over the place, thriller. If you want to see a thriller, watch Blue Ruin, which is brilliant, which is better than... It felt similar to that. It felt like this is... That Blue Ruin, which is about a guy who's trying to track down a bloke who's killed his parents, and in indie film... Absolutely brilliant, you must watch that. This felt it's very similar to that, but slightly more comic with bigger actors, bigger names, but not stylistically nailed down. But I recommend it for something a bit, it was refreshing to see something a little bit different in the cinema. And it's quite odd that this time of year, in the summer releases, it's that sort of dead time,
yeah,
where there's no summer blockbuster. So you're getting, whereas the winter has been dominated by, we bang out superhero films. We've seen like A Fault in Their Stars, which is like I watched the other week, a sort of a cancer sort of weepy rom-com.
It's a bit rom-commy territory, isn't it? But different rom-coms. Like there's that Keira Knightley, Mark Ruffalo one out that I've had no interest in going to see.
Sort of like romance ones. They think this is the time of year we're going to sort of put the weird stuff out because we haven't got. It's not going to make that much money.
Well, it's August where you get your big summer blockbusters starting to come out.
This is like the summer before it's the World Cup. So I think that's really dominated everything. So no one's going out.
I think people don't want to compete with it because it's sports season. It's the World Cup, Wimbledon and the Tour de France all at the same time.
And you're not
time.
Getting the kids from holiday yet. So you're seeing this weird, sort of, but nice mix of different films that wouldn't be released up against the big boys.
Yeah, and then the big boys are coming out. You know, it's sort of How to Train Your Dragon 2 will be out by the time this is broadcast. And then the big one in August, I guess, is Guardians of the Galaxy, the big Marvel release, which we will see.
Anyway, I give Cold in July a solid 7. 7 Mareks. It's worth... yeah, it's worth a trip to the cinema.
All right, yeah. worth seeing on the big screen then, you
reckon? I don't
know,
actually. I don't know. I think seven.
Seven.
I think seven that just says enough.
I think I'd give Small Apartments 7 as well.
Well, there we go. 2 7s.
There's some stuff worth seeing.
Do you know what? What do we like to say to people?
All right.
No.
A bit bilious.
What? Just keep watching the films, right? Bye.
Keep watching the films.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.